Becky mentioned to Robbie earlier that the children were wondering at Easter if I was breathing between words. The trick is in through the nose, out through the mouth. Well, I'll take a pause between words this morning. But I'd like to remind you all that this is about the third week that we've had a focus on the book of Revelation, something mainline Protestants don't do very often, but it comes up in the lectionary every few years, and we're going to have another week or so as well. And I think one of the reasons, as I've mentioned before, that mainline Protestants don't look at Revelation very often is that it seems very confusing at times. But it also seems to me that Revelation presents in many different ways a very compelling and easily understood, if perhaps not easily lived, vision, a global vision, God's global vision. Here in chapter 7, we see a portion of that. What was read for this morning was from the 7th verse onward, but if we looked at the very first verse, we would see that there's something that John hears about what's happening in the other world, in the heavenly realm where God and God's throne room are. John hears about a group, a numbered group of people who are sealed, and the number is 144,000 people, 12 times 12,000. They represent all of the tribes of Israel. And one of the reasons we didn't, perhaps we should have, read those first verses, each tribe is listed, tribe after tribe after tribe. And the sentence says, from this tribe, this many. From this tribe, this many. All of them mentioned, 144,000 sealed. Sometimes when people interpret the book of Revelation, they look at these important numbers, 144,000, 12 from each of the 12 tribes, 12,000 that is, and they begin to say, ah, what we can learn from Revelation and its focus on numbers is that some people are sealed and chosen and loved and protected by God, and other people are not. And it seems to always turn out that the groups that focus on these numbers are just sure that they're on the inside of those numbers, and that people who are not in their group are on the outside of those numbers. That might have even been what John was doing when he first heard about those 144,000. He might have been counting and saying, well, I hope that I and 143,999 of my friends are included in that number of sealed people. But then John saw something. He hears about the 144,000, and then he looks, and what he sees is a number of people that can't be counted. He hears about a number, and he looks, and what he sees, and he admits it, he says it out loud, a number you can't count. Numbers upon numbers of people. Some people have said, well, 144,000 would be a pretty big number to count. That's what John meant. He saw the 144, and it seemed like a big number to him. That seems doubtful to me. He just said he knew exactly how many people were in that crowd that he heard about. What he's saying in the crowd that he sees is, he's got no idea how many people are there. The other thing we know is that the first number represents tribes of Israel, and the second number, the number that he sees in the heavenly throne room, praising God, protected by Jesus, beloved by the Creator of the universe, are from nations, tribes, peoples, and languages. In fact, all nations, tribes, peoples, and languages. I think one of the reasons that Revelation can be so important in our lives is it gives us a vantage point that we don't always have. We have a vantage point that includes our own lives and relationships, our own understandings and our own histories, our own aspirations and hopes for the future. We have vantage points that include the people that we know and the stuff we know about. And that's very, very valuable. It's valuable to me to be in a community with each of you and to begin to know your stories and share my story with you. It's valuable that we share our lives together. John offers us something even bigger than our local community, something even bigger than our nation, something even bigger than any tribal affiliations we might make, something even bigger than our language understandings. John offers us in Revelation a global vision. Sometimes, because local things are so important and so relevant to our lives, people scoff at others who want to think more globally. People say things like, charity begins at home, and those people are strangers, and we have to take care of ourselves. And I think it's very, very important and true that indeed charity, charis, love, ought to begin at home. It just not ought to end at home. Local things are extremely important. If you're always thinking globally, but you're never acting locally, something seems to be wrong. What happens with people that you know is crucial in your life. I know it's crucial in my life. But one of the reasons that this congregation decided years ago to be what is called a global mission congregation was an acknowledgement that we are, as children of God, connected to the others who share the globe with us. One of the reasons that we chose to be what is called a Green Chalice congregation is that we believe we're connected to those people and we're connected to this planet upon which we live. That God's care for us is global. God's vision for us is global. God's understandings about us include not just our local expression, but include nations, tribes, people, and languages. As often as folks get caught up on the 144,000, a group that you've got to be in, and if you're outside of it, that's a problem, or other numbers in Revelation, one number you can't miss in the book of Revelation is the number 7. It's everywhere. And unbeknownst to us, the number 7 shows up in this passage in a very unique way. Remember I mentioned that we heard about nations and tribes and people and languages? Well, this group of 4 pairing, nation, tribe, people, language, shows up in one way or another, one time just altered a tiny little bit, 7 times in the book of Revelation. It seems like whenever John wants us to really get something, he says it 7 times. And 7 different places in the book of Revelation, we have 4 expressions of what it would mean to understand God's global vision. That when it comes to God, all people should be listening. All people should be praising. All people are included. All people share hope in God. That's the suggestion of the book of Revelation. So what would it mean for us to adopt an even more global vision? One of the things that John asks us to do is, as we come together and as we worship, to realize that Christ is among us. Another 7 in the book of Revelation is that there are these 7 lampstands that represent the 7 churches that receive John's message, and that Christ stands in their midst. As churches who receive and read Revelation, we are told that Christ stands in our midst. And as we gather at the table, and as we share together as God's people, we're invited to see the world in a new and different way, with God's global vision. So as we gather in this place this morning, we're asked to be mindful of people in places and nations around the world, some of which we can't pronounce, many of which we may never even have heard of, who are struggling with poverty, or HIV, or tuberculosis. As we gather in this place this morning, we're asked to be mindful that our own peace is important, but that peace on earth, peace around the world, peace for all people is crucial. As we gather here in this place this morning, We're called to be thankful for the beautiful spring weather that we're enjoying today and this weekend, but we're also called to be mindful that on the other side of the globe, people are digging out from yet another earthquake. People are recovering from mudslides. People are suffering from drought and hunger, hopelessness. Our global vision needs to understand that we are connected to people of nations, tribes, people, and languages. What John was doing with those four monikers was expressing in a way that would be important and recognizable to those hearers and readers of his revelation how to talk about the whole world. Right? God's got the whole world in God's hands. How do you say the whole world? There are lots of ways to say the whole world, but when you're John and you're reporting your vision in the book of Revelation, one thing about which you don't know is the shape of the globe. John didn't have an understanding about the shape of the globe. John didn't have pictures of the earth from space. John hadn't been to all of those different places. So we had to think of some way to speak inclusively about creation, inclusively about people. And what he chose was nations, tribes, people, and languages. Which nations? All nations. How many? An uncountable multitude. Having been through difficulty, through tribulation and struggle, but protected by, loved by, and worshiping God through Jesus Christ. Which tribes? All tribes. Which people? All people. Which languages, or in the Greek, tongues? Which ones? All of them. Which ones do we exclude? None of them. This is a global vision, and it's God's vision. John makes sure to tell us it's God's vision. John says that he gets the vision. God gives it to Jesus, Jesus to the Spirit to John, to the churches, etc., etc., etc. Where did it come from? It came from God. How do we get it? We get it from John. It's something we couldn't see without a little bit of help. It matters what you can see and what you can't see. Years ago at the St. Louis Zoo, I had Danny and Abby. Hoso was not yet born or part of our family. And Abby was standing outside the bear enclosure. Danny and I were standing next to the little fence where you read about the bears and you look at the bears. And Abby could just see over the fence. She could see the bear. Danny couldn't see over the fence. So I lifted Danny up and I let him put his feet just on the edge of the enclosure. Now, what you need to know is on the other side of the little fence was 6 feet of grass and then a huge pit and 30 feet, and then some bears. I set Danny up, and I hugged him, and he had his little feet resting against the thing, and I said, "Danny, you see the bears?" Here's what Abby saw. Abby saw her brother's feet and a bear. She didn't see the 30-foot pit. She didn't see the 6 feet of grass. All she saw was that her father had now put her brother up on this fence. The only thing that separated her brother from the bear, her father had just made irrelevant. And Abby started screaming, "Take him down! Take him down! The bear will get him." From her vantage point, the world looked completely different. Only when I calmed her down, stepped back from the fence, and lifted her up so she could see the 6 feet of grass, the 30-foot pit, did she understand what had happened? Revelation gives us an opportunity to see more of the big picture. Some people are scared to death of Revelation because they don't see the whole picture. All they hear is apocalypse, and they know what that means. It means terror and fear, just like Abby at the zoo. Take them down, Daddy. The bear's going to get them. What John gives us in his vision of the Revelation is God's global vision, a vision in which all people, all languages, tribes, and nations are beloved by God and are called to God. In the midst of a world where there is suffering, where there is tribulation, where there is war, where there is death, John offers us a vision in which God is sovereign and Jesus Christ, the Lamb, standing as having been slaughtered, has called us together, redeemed us, and invited us into a new city. We'll talk more about that new city next week, but here is a spoiler for you. All of the jokes that you've ever heard about St. Peter and the pearly gates are based on nothing. There is a vision of a city, and it does have gates made out of pearls, and they're never, ever closed. They're always open. There are 12 of them from all sides. God's global vision is open and inviting to all who choose that vision. People of God, we have been chosen by God by virtue of our birth. God has wrapped God's arms around us and invited us to participate in this vision of peace, of love, of wholeness. So have all others who share this earth with us. Because John has offered us this vantage point, this global vision that God has for us all. Because through Jesus Christ, we celebrate this vision. Because at this table, we participate in this vision. We are now sent into the world to repeat, to speak, and to live this vision. And I want to warn you, there are people out there in the world who, in the name of Jesus Christ, will speak against God's global vision. There are people out there in this world who, in the name of Jesus Christ, will talk about closed gates, who will talk about walls and barriers, who will talk about insiders and outsiders. But readers and hearers of John's revelation, we can't be fooled by that. Readers and hearers of the New Testament Gospels, we can't be fooled by that. Gospels tell us about a God who loved the whole world. John 3:16-17. The Gospels tell us about a Jesus who sends the disciples out to all nations. Matthew 28:17-19 and following. The Gospels tell us about a Holy Spirit that moves through all of the known world. Luke, Acts. The Gospels tell us about a Spirit that breaks into the world and compels Jesus to reach out to people across borders. Mark, chapter 1, chapter 7, and the rest. Paul tells us about an expanding covenant. So it's fitting that our canon should close with an opening. Revelation ends, our Bible ends with a new beginning, with an invitation to anyone who's hungry or thirsty, anyone who wants to come to the living waters, anyone, people from all nations, tribes, languages, and peoples. Because that, sisters and brothers in Christ, is God's global vision. Amen.